You're going to do great.
Yeah. So many of you remember Mary Ellen. She was Mary Ellen Moody back in the day. She left and married Friedrich. And so just give us a little bit of background about both of you, for those who don't know Mary Ellen and certainly Friedrich.
I'm from Louisville, and I found out about Vine Street because my now sister-in-law, her father was the pastor here when she was in high school. Mm-hmm. She's turning 40 this year, so it's been a while. And so I knew about it. I think my brother was even baptized here. I think Clay maybe was baptized here. Maybe not.
I don't think so. Was he?
I think he was. I think he hadn't been baptized when he got saved. And then like 5 or 6 years later. Anyway. And then our good family friend ended up taking over. He was the youth pastor, and I started serving with the youth group. And eventually he became the lead pastor. I graduated. I went to Western Kentucky for college, and then this was my first church post-college. Really the first church I ever chose myself, you know, like not because my parents were making me go there or something. But anyway, so it was a really sweet church for me, and my first church in Louisville after college. And I am officially, I'm a member now at Sojourn Midtown, so just down the street, and met Friedrich because he did an internship there. And felt called to mission since high school. Didn't think I would be going overseas like via marriage, but that was God's story for me. So I don't know, it's a little bit, I'm from Louisville, got saved as a teenager, felt called to missions pretty quickly afterwards, and yeah, that's really short.
Friedrich, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good, perfect. So I'm not from Louisville.
Played with Levi when he was like 2 years old. That's
chasing vacuum cleaners.
Awesome.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm not from Louisville. I'm from Hamburg, Germany. I'm a German citizen. So I've actually only spent like two times like in the States, once for 6 months and now for 8 months and then for a couple of visits. So I'm actually not at all American. But yeah, I have an American wife. So now I'm Americanized. So I grew up in Germany, and I didn't grow up in a Christian household. My dad was a Buddhist. My mom was some religious pluralist, whatever, mixing everything together. And I grew up worshiping myself and recruiting other people to worship me. That was pretty much my story throughout high school. And when I was 16, a teenager in school started reaching out to me. Very intentional. Like to this day, I've never seen somebody do that. Like for 2 years, he was praying for me, got his youth group to pray for me, his family, invited me to all birthday parties and everything, joined the same classes in school just to be with me, and just shared the gospel over the course of 2 years, even though I never reacted. I was always opposed to it. And yeah, then 2 years later, I eventually agreed on coming to his church service with him, not knowing what that would do to me. But so I went to 3 church services, and then there was like a youth event, and it was like a 20-minute sermon where in the beginning I said, this is all dumb. And at the end of the sermon, I was a Christian. And I didn't know what was happening to me, but he was standing next to me. It's like, something just happened. I think you should pray. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means, but I guess I'm going to go and talk to God. And so I started talking and praying to God, whatever I knew, which was barely anything. But for a couple of minutes I prayed. And after that, he again said, like, I think something happened. And like, I was like, yeah, I'm obviously a Christian. And I also think I'm called to full-time missions. And like, I had no idea what that would mean. But I received my calling that day. And so I went from being a non-Christian to knowing that I would be in full-time ministry over the course of 2 hours. And started seminary soon after, started talking to people, had a couple, like an older couple who discipled me very intentionally, met up with me every week. Eventually I moved in with them, lived with them for 3 years. So very intentional discipleship. And all of that shaped a lot of my understanding of church anyways, like so like the way I was discipled or reached out to before I became a Christian, and then after I became a Christian, just shaped a lot of my understanding of what that would look like. And so I joined a church plant about a year later because I knew then it would be church planting that I would be doing. So I joined a young church plant in Hamburg, and learned from them, got discipled by the pastors there, and got in contact with a church planting network called X-Ray 9. They started pouring into me, and so I had just a lot of people pouring into me by God's grace. Super thankful for that, which is, even for Germany, very uncommon. But that kind of shaped me, and eventually X-Ray 9, our church planting network, said, it would be good for you to leave your context where you're in, because all you know of church is Hamburg, where you have 1% evangelical Christians in a church planting context. You've never really been part of an established church, and you only know the gospel applied in like secular, pluralistic Hamburg postmodern world. And so they said, go to America, go to Louisville, internet sojourn. You'll be at a bigger church. You'll actually hang out with people who have been Christians for longer than 2, 3, 5, 10 years. And it's an established church, and you learn where your gospel understanding is German and where your gospel understanding is biblical. And that was actually the case. I went through some culture shock, but I definitely understood that a lot of what I thought was normal for church was actually just my personal background or German background. And so that's where I met her, and I didn't want to go back without her, so I married her. And yeah.
That leads to my next question, actually. Tell us a little bit about the differences between living in Germany and living here in the United States.
Well, it's Europe, so it's not like crazy different. I think one thing that was challenging for me initially was that everyone looks like you. Like, I traveled a lot, I've been in a lot of different countries, and when people kind of look different, then you like expect them to be different, I guess. Like, even just stylistically, like their clothes, I mean, it's little more urban or something, but overall I'm like, I could have grown up with you, like at school. I don't know, you dress like me, you look like me, you speak a different language. And so that was maybe like a challenge, I guess. Like, there's, we're not super different, like most food things you can get, you can't find brown sugar or chocolate chips, but like other than that, like all the creature comforts are there. And you know, for other missionaries, like they can't find milk, you know, or whatever. Like, we have a lot of the basics that at least I find homey, I guess. Those are similarities. The food's not crazy different. Desserts are really different. We talk about that a lot, but it wasn't so different. Culturally, it's a much colder culture. I think compared to like a Hispanic culture, America would be considered cold, like cold versus warm. And but like literally you walk down the street and if you greet someone, the German mind is like, how do I know her? Why is she talking to me? Why'd she look at me? And
much like New York, if any of you has been in New York, that's very much where we're at.
Yeah, like in New York City, you can fall down and no one's even gonna notice you. And it's the same in Hamburg. Like my first week, we're running to the train. I was wearing flip-flops, which Germans don't do. Learned that one. And I tripped down the steps and literally no one stopped. And I was like, this country is mean. in Kentucky, you stop and are like, can I do something for you, honey? I don't know. So that was really different. But like, I mean, Germans would say they have fewer relationships, but they go deeper. Whereas Americans tend to know a lot of people. And you still maybe have your few like close people, but we tend to like our friend groups are larger. And, you know, generally, of course, personality comes into all that stuff, too. But overall, Germans are much more, like, they have, their weddings are 40 people. And that's really, like, a common thing. A big wedding is 90 people. There were 260 at my wedding. So it's just, like, which is a large wedding for American, too. But still, it's just, like, that's unheard of. So smaller friend groups would be a big difference. And spiritually, obviously, it's quite different. There's not like a Christian culture at all. My first language course when I was learning German, our teacher like couldn't believe that we wanted to start a church. Like he was like, oh, because you're American, like did you know that we don't have those here anymore? And I was like, actually, there are churches here. There are Christian. My husband's German and he's Christian, you know, but in his mind he had not met a practicing Christian. And like there are church buildings that you could like go up into and pay €5, but you wouldn't like attend there on a Sunday or something. So that's obviously, again, I grew up here and it's like the Mecca, I feel like, of Christianity with the seminaries and stuff like that. But so that was a big shock for me, just You don't run into a coffee shop and see Christians like reading their Bibles or I don't know, things like that. Pretty different.
We've never owned a car in our marriage, so that's a big difference. We've always only lived in apartments, and we're going to continue only living in apartments. So that space is very different. Everything is a lot more dense, and you have just a lot less space, which there are pros and cons to that, but that's very different. And we were just always relying on public transportation, which thankfully in Germany is pretty good, but it's just a very different idea. Yeah, and I think like to compared to American life, German life is a lot slower to a degree. Like we like Germans have fewer things, which means they do the fewer things they do a lot with a lot more time commitment. And so like people would just I don't know, like going to the gym for 30 minutes is very uncommon. People would go like, okay, that's my evening. I'm going to spend 2.5 hours there or whatever, or like whatever sport they do. Or when they go out to eat, they would not leave the restaurant under 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And in a restaurant, like if a waiter brings you the check, you're not tipping him because he's like pushing you out, things like that. And so like life is to a degree slower, not necessarily less busy, but slower. So that's life. And yeah, then obviously the church is very different. Because of what you were sharing, we come from a cult culture, and there's, again, pros and cons to that, but the sins that are revealed in a cult culture is that you're not necessarily welcoming. So Mary Ellen was at our church at the churchman that I'd been working with before we got married, and then we dove back into that churchman when we came back. She had been there for, I don't know, 6 months before ever, I don't know how long it was, but somebody actually initiated a conversation with her. Everybody knew about her, but like you just don't initiate a conversation with a stranger. So
at some point I would meet people and they'd be like, oh yeah, you're the American, right? Like I knew I've met you or I've seen you, and I'm like, why didn't you ever say hi? Like it's just so weird to me. There was no welcome team, and now they actually have something like that in the church, but they didn't have any way, if you're new, like who would you even talk to? You would maybe, if you were bold enough, you would initiate with the pastor or something, but there was no meet and greet time or something. Like, and they're like, well, we don't really have visitors. And I was like, you don't have ever? Like, I mean, if there's a visitor, usually someone would be coming with a friend. There's not like just some random spiritually interested person that shows up at church. And so the fact that I was coming with my husband, I think everyone's like, oh, she's connected, and no one would initiate with me. Again, like it's a little different than what I was used to.
But you made it through that, so, and you're going back.
Yeah.
So it's not terrible because you're going back.
I don't need to paint it in that light.
Right, no problem, no worries. So you're going back to Germany soon. Tell us about where you're going and why you're going back to this specific town.
So we've been working in Hamburg, which is my hometown, northern Germany, like an hour away from the Danish border. Compared to this side of the world, this would be like Quebec, quite far north. But so that was my hometown. We worked there by vocational ministry the last 5 years. I worked in a food business. And we're moving to Eastern Germany, which is former USSR. For those in European history, like that was communism all the way up to 29 years ago, and when the wall fell. And we're going east to New City to plant a church. And so I'll be full-time pastor, church planter, whatever. And we have a team there. The city we're going to, Leipzig, is the fastest growing city in Germany right now, because when the wall came down, when the Iron Curtain fell, a lot of people wanted to go back to the city because the city is like super historical. One of the main players throughout the centuries in Germany, has like second oldest university in Germany, one of the oldest opera houses in Europe. Classical music was born there. Reformation took place. Luther preached in the churches. The churches there, it's like it has a strategic point of like trade because of rivers and lakes. So like the trade between Eastern and Western Europe went through there for decades or centuries, and so it was a very historical city. And then when the Iron Curtain came down, it was open again. Like 20,000 students moved there within the next 2 years, which then brings jobs, which then brings housing, which then brings everything. And so we had 180,000 people move there in the last 29 years. And so the city's back up to 600,000, one of the fastest growing city, very hip, very new, like everything is changing, in a positive way, but in this at the same time, it's a very dark place because former USSR, Eastern Germany, is the most secular place in the world because it was a country established on the basis of secularism. And so what that did is they just banned churches pretty much from the beginning. Like they didn't say you can't be a Christian, but they said if you're a Christian, you're not a citizen. And so people had to make a choice of what they wanted to be part of the country or a Christian. And so that just meant that over the 60 years that Russia was in charge, Christianity was pretty much eradicated. And so there were studies conducted because socialists from all over the world go there right now to study like what impact secularism has on a culture, because nowhere else in the world you had a country established on secularism. China was based on Buddhism, even Russia was based on Orthodox Christianity, even the Western world was built on like Christian churches, but like Eastern Germany was founded as a country on secularism. And so they had a study conducted where they found that, where they didn't find a single person under the age of 28 who said they believe in God in all of Eastern Germany. And I mean, obviously there are some, but the percentages are just super low. We have, like, Leipzig has 80% people who say they're atheists and there's no spiritual reality to life, and that's one of the lower numbers in Eastern Germany. Like, most of the places, atheism is higher than 80%. So it's very spiritually dark, while at the same time very vibrant and growing. Well, like, so we have a brilliant opportunity, but we also have a desperate need, and planting a church just seems to make sense.
And just part of my story is that I was like, I'll go anywhere in Germany as long as it's farther south and it's not east, because I was really intimidated by the atheism of it. And so when we started exploring this option, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. And is God even moving there? Are we just committing decades of our life to like never seeing a salvation? And we have 12 friends that have already moved in the last like 8 or 9 months, and that we'll be planting with. So Friedrich will be leading with one other guy, and it's just crazy what God's already doing, and been really cool. There's like a random, what they say never happens. Like, no one just self-initiates. There was a girl I met, we were there in the fall, and she's talking, and I'm like, oh gosh, like another wishy-washy Christian. She's just living in sin. And but as she's talking, everyone's like, she telling me later, like, she's not a believer. She's just self-initiated, like Googled churches in Leipzig, and we're not even a church yet. And but they already have a website. And so she just contacted them and started hanging out with her friends, and she is asking questions about the Lord. And they hosted a Christmas Eve service and invited their neighbors and friends, and 21 non-Christians came. There's only 12 people, you know, like believers. So it's like they're completely outnumbered by non-Christians at the service. And I talked to the other wife, the other pastor's wife or whatever, and she was like, we're just blown away. Like, what just happened? And I don't know, you know, you just go in faith and hope. Like, we're willing to spend decades and share the gospel and maybe never see fruit in our lifetime. And just to see, like, people interested is, like, really encouraging. And we kind of say, like, if you, when we first drove into the city, it was, like, kind of run down where we were. And I just kept thinking, like, oh, gosh, like, whatever. Who cares that it's run down? But I just thought, like, all right, this is a run down city. And then they were literally saying, like, every building is being renovated. And really, we look at apartments, I do, like, every day. And they're all new renovations because it's just, like, and to me, that's a spiritual metaphor of what God is doing. Like, he's making these things new. He's literally bringing life back to this city that was really, that has been really dead. And that's our prayer, at least, is that that God's going to move. And we're excited. The people, our team is really great. And that was a big part for us, is why we chose this place. Is we've been trying to, like, share the gospel in Hamburg, but kind of felt alone in that, not totally alone, but we felt like we wanted a team of people to live on mission with, and we're really excited about the group that we're joining.
So, like, we just, like, it's 0.5% evangelical Christians there, so the whole city has less than 3,000 Christians, and so we're members.
About the same size as Louisville.
Yeah, and like we're members population at Sojourn, and if you go throughout the four campuses of Sojourn, there are more members in the four campuses of Sojourn than there are in the city of Leipzig. And we're just hoping to change that. And we see the Lord working and we believe he can do it. And that's a big thing. Even like the last 5 years that we were in Hamburg, we've just known like so many things happened that shouldn't have happened. So many things that just like people are interested that should never be interested in. People like our path cross and whatever. And it's just like the Lord is really moving. And one of the beautiful things of being in a context like that is like you experience how the Lord is doing things that you cannot rationally explain. And so we're just like praying and dependent on prayer, because in the end, God is going to do the work. It doesn't matter how many resources or how big of a team we bring. Nothing is going to keep us there except the Lord and the prayers of the saints. And so, yeah.
Well, what are three specific prayers that we can pray for you and with you?
So very practically, an apartment. We are going back in 8 weeks, and we need to find an apartment pretty soon in which we can have our team and visitors over on a very regular basis, because a lot of ministry happens in the home. So we're going to have people over. We had people over like 2 to 3 times, sometimes 4 times a week, on a like almost every week while we were there in the last 5 years, and that's going to continue. So we need a space where we can do that.
Specifically, we're praying for a large living room. It's kind of hard to find, and apartments are smaller. Like a big apartment for us would be 300 square feet, 1,300 square feet, not 300. Whoa, everyone's like, what? No, 1,300. That would be, and we don't have to have that large even, but we're, even if our bedrooms are tiny, we're praying specifically for a large living room. Our team is hoping that we get a large living room because we don't have a building, and so we'll be meeting in whoever's house has the most space. So.
And then we have a crazy transition in front of, so between now and us getting there, we're gonna help her parents move. We're gonna move out of their old house into a new house. Then 3 weeks later, we're gonna move from America to Hamburg to be with my mom for a couple of weeks before we find an apartment. And then we're gonna move our stuff from that's at my mom's place and that is stored over to Leipzig into an apartment. Apartments usually come without kitchens, so we need to put in appliances in the kitchen and everything and that. So like just like the next 3 months is like constant packing, unpacking, moving, whatever, and that's
and we have 2 kids.
Yeah. So like it can drive you crazy. I don't know, like yeah. Like moving can drive you crazy. And so it's just like that's a big thing. And then like a lot of us is like we're just praying like for like the 21 people who came to the Sunday service, to the Christmas Eve service, like for them to stay in contact. Our team is staying connected with them, but like God obviously drew them, and we just want to see their salvation. Like we want to see God drawing them closer and drawing them in and see salvations. And so, yeah.
Anything else? All right. Thank you so much for sharing, telling us a little bit about Leipzig, and we'll be praying for you. Dan, you want to come back up?
All right, we're going to transition to a time of prayer, and we're going to start off praying for the Hanai family.